Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
To take this study today, because out of the seven churches, this one is good. This is the only church that Jesus said something good about. Okay. So I'm happy. Today will not be you will be happy today. You will not feel bad, because even me, I'm already happy. Hallelujah. Father, bless us tonight. Speak your word to us. Encourage us. Instruct us. Show us the way. In Jesus' name. So we have been, the Voice to the Churches part 6. And after this will be part 7. Then we'll do a final, maybe on Sunday we'll just summarize. And so I like this particular church. Today we are looking at the Church of Philadelphia. And this is not Philadelphia in the U.S., amen. This is Philadelphia in Asia Minor. All right. So all these seven churches are churches in the area that the scripture, categorized in those days as Asia Minor. And so I want you to get Revelation 3 verse 7 ready. So we are going to read 7 all the way down to 13. So maybe we should start from there. All right. Okay. And to the angel of the church, Pastor John, good to see you. Of Philadelphia, in Philadelphia. Right. These things says he who is holy and who is true. He who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts. And who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you, hallelujah, an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength. See what you can do with a little strength. He said, and you have kept my word. And you did not, what? You did not deny my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and they are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet. And to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to what? To persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him, the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven and from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Jesus says he has a new name. Verse 13. He who art and hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. I told you this is a good one. So out of the six churches that we have now considered, or that this is the sixth church, and out of actually the whole seven churches, this is the only church. The only church that Jesus did not have one thing to say against. One thing against them. That means their pastor did a very good job. Amen. Their pastor, are you seeing what I'm seeing? They had a leadership team. They had committed members. They had people wanted to hear God's word. They had people wanted to obey God. They didn't allow the corruption in the other churches to affect them. Because if they have gone for the Asia Minor Ministers Conference, this church would have gone there to see that they were the only ones who were different. When they ask the church of Thyatira to lead worship, you will not know if you are in a club or in a church. If they ask the ones from Ephesus to lead prayer, they'll be very anointed, though. But if you don't watch, keep your eyes on your wife, they may take your wife and run away with your wife. You will not be looking for your wife, thinking that we came to church. Somebody in Ephesus has taken your wife away. You see, this particular church is a model church. Philadelphia means brotherly love. So I want us to understand that the secret of this church is not far away from their name. What's the meaning of Philadelphia? Brotherly love. I know in those days we used to sing some very song. There used to be one song on brotherly love. MJ, I don't know if you remember in those days, like let brotherly love continue, something like that. So those are songs that we'll sing in church. We sing casual. You also hear songs like, shine Jesus, shine, fill the earth with the Father's glory. You can't lose with those songs. We don't need drum, it's just piano. And even if there's no piano, you sing it like that, it's still sweet. It's melodious to the ear. Alright? It was a few years ago that somebody brought up the issue of latest piano. Like, if you don't have it, you are not a happening church. You know, before now, we just hold our hands and I love the family of love. That's it. Everybody's happy and pastor will come and teach. There was no room for rancor. And I am saying this because this Philadelphian church did not happen by mistake. They knew something. They did something. If you are filled with hatred, and you stay in this church, after 6 months, you'll be filled with love. Brotherly love. Did you notice that Jesus didn't really talk about how anointed they were? Anointing is good, but it will not be a yardstick for reward. I wish somebody heard that one. I said, it's good to be a prophet. What God will first of all reward is my love life. And I want you to know this so that you will stop looking at people who are powerful as being specially favored by God because of their gift. The Spirit of God said in the book of, I think it was Jeremiah, he said, let not the wise man glory in his what? Wisdom. Let not the mighty man, let him not glory in his strength. Say, let him that glory in this, that he knoweth me, saith the Lord. If anybody among us wants to be proud of anything, you should be able to stand up and say, oh, I thank God when I started walking with Jesus, this was where I was. I'm in this church now. This is 6 months later. I have become spiritually aware. I'm getting closer to the Lord. I wake up in the morning. My life is filled with the joy of the Lord. These are the things that will matter. Because when persecutions come, when persecutions and trials of life, because trials of life will come, Sometimes you don't plan to lose a family member, but it happens. Is that not so? Nobody prays for it. But it's a trial. It's a trial of your faith. Satan wants you to believe that God does not care about you. Something happens, you can lose your job after sowing a seed in church. You can lose a big customer. These are trials. Satan wants to prove to God that if he doesn't bless you, you will leave him. So you see, look at these other churches. You know, most times Jesus would just say, oh, I know your work, Jesus, I have this against you. Jesus did not say anything. And I want us to consider what Jesus said to this church. So please put up that scripture from verse 7. He said, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. Again, please just keep the scripture here. What are the items we need to look at here? Jesus. Oh God. Jesus does not bypass his leaders, his pastors, to speak to his church unless that pastor is rebellious. Please, we need to understand how spiritual things work. For instance, if I'm preaching here now, and you want to prophesy, you will have to hold it. Especially if the message is for the church. You will have to come and check because you might be hearing wrongly. You might be hearing something that we have already resolved 2 weeks ago in the place of prayer. You know, in the spiritual realm, there's no past, present, future. So you need to be matured prophetically to know that the dream you are having or the prophecy you are receiving is for today. You may be seeing the past. Are you with me? Jesus will never. It's just like you are married. And some of you that probably find yourself here, you need to be very wise and stop it. Jesus will never. Okay, let me put it this way. If I don't, let's say I'm a pastor. I don't like my wife putting on trousers. All right? I don't like it. Let's say that's what I believe. Or let's say I prefer my wife putting on trousers. Then Alfred is also another pastor somewhere. Let's say I'm a church member. Alfred is the pastor. Alfred now comes to visit us. He now sees my wife in the pastor and says, why are you wearing trousers? The word of God is very clear. A woman should not put on that which pertains to a man. But he did not tell you whether that verse says trouser belongs to men. He just quoted it. And starts to instruct my wife. You must stop this. You must stop that. Then I came out from where, maybe I was on the tree plucking mango. And I saw pastor. I came down. Pastor. Alpha. Pastor. Alpha. And I saw them. My wife was not smiling. I noticed that, what was going on? I now realized that pastor was telling my wife that she should be wearing skirt, long skirt. All right? So her legs can be covered. What does the Bible say? The Bible says the husband is the head of the wife, not the pastor. Which is why, before you marry, know what the man believes. Because the moment you say you want to marry, you put your head there. Very little. Pastor will just say we'll be assisting you with prayers. Yes, sir. I cannot advise you to disobey your husband. Yes, sir. Because if my wife tries it with me, I will not take it. I will even forget that I'm a pastor. You have to understand how spiritual things work. In the same way, if God wants to speak to us concerning this church, he can use any of the pastors. And if he's speaking to Mininu, To mean we need to submit that revelation to the pastors, the board of pastors. To mean cannot come out here, hold the mic, and be giving instruction that has not been vetted to the church. That's not our job. Because when Jesus came here, he spoke to the angel of that church. This was not a small church. Jesus did not say, where is the choir leader? Except they are looking for the pastor. Maybe the pastor is also the chief herbalist of the village. They are looking for him. He has gone to do spiritual work. They will say, okay, choir leader, go and call him. Tell him we are around. I need you to understand how spiritual things are. Because some of us ran into problems because we broke protocol. So you have to protect yourself. You have to know where your authority ends and where another person's own starts. Put up that scripture, please. Jesus spoke directly to the angel. The angel there is the messenger, the pastor, over that church. And look at how Jesus introduced himself. Say these things. This is how he said, write it like this. So, because some people will think that, oh, it's because you don't like Alfred and Fumi, they are always sitting together. So say, write it like this. It's not your message. These things, what things? The things you are about to hear. Huh? The things you will hear now. Say, are the words of him who is what? Who is holy. The one without sin. The one who is separated. The one who is in a class by himself. The one whose holiness makes angels look unholy. Say these things. Says he who is holy. That's his nature. That is his character. He said, Jesus will say to her, he said, be ye holy. As your Father who is in heaven is what? So what? Whose responsibility is holiness? Talk to me. Ah, you people are not seeing it. Whose responsibility is holiness? Ah, we are in trouble. Okay, whose responsibility is righteousness? For me, she said, hey. Whose responsibility? If you are just doing like this, I'll call you. If I see your face, if you are just looking, looking as if you want to pick something on the floor, I don't catch you. Stand up. I will ask you straight. Whose responsibility is it for righteousness? What? Who told this God's gift to you? Why? Are you saying it's God? Why? This is a discipleship class. Why? You want to hide under correct answer. Talk now. Okay. No wrong answer, no right. Tell me what you know. But don't mention your grandmother's name. And don't mention any Nigerian name. You said God. Why? Just give me. Okay, say anything. I will mark it. Everything. Eh? You read it in the Word of God. Do you believe what you read? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you sometimes wonder if God accepts you? With some of, when you do some, those things, when you, like Sadiq, when you do your things, that thing that you like to do, but you know God doesn't like, do you sometimes feel like, maybe I'm not even born again, like I'm a serious sinner? Huh? So that means you don't fully understand righteousness. Righteousness is such that it's very hard to lose. It's like a virus. Once God gives it to you, it's a nature. So holiness now, over time, becomes a product of righteousness. Righteousness is God's gift, his own nature to you. Holiness is you seeing God's standard and deciding, I will be like this. So when Jesus said, be holy as my Father, what is he saying? Be separated. When you look into the law of liberty and you find that the scripture says, let him that steals, steal no more, but begin to walk and feed his family. You say, okay, I will be like this. You move, holiness. I will not take what is not mine again. When you see it, that God doesn't like people who cheat. Okay. You saw $100 on the road. It's not your own. It's not God's provision. I came to tell you it's not God's provision. You saw $100 on the road, on the floor. It's not God that gave it to you. It's not your money. And don't tell me you are looking for the owner. You will never find that person. He said, someone said, I'll take you to the police station. Yeah. You took the money to the thieves. The what? First class thieves. So there's a part in holiness that we have to play, which is you deliberately staying away from anything that you know the word of God is not comfortable with. He says, this is the one who is holy. This is what he is saying. He said, this is the one who is true. Hallelujah. Put up that scripture. He said, the one who is holy and the one who is true. Everything he says is true. Hallelujah. If God says you are healed, it is true. Amen. If God says you will be happy again, it is true. If God says I will judge sinners, it is true. If God says I have forgiven your sins, it is true. Whether you feel bad for it, somebody told me, send me a message. Say, Pastor, sir, I still feel so bad about what I did. It's been 2 weeks. I said the feeling of badness is yours. God has what? Forgiven you. I said, though, the feeling is good because next time you will think twice before committing that sin. But really, God has what? Forgiven you. This is the one who is true. Which means when you read of any other testimony, any other account, anything anyone tries to tell you, to confuse you or convince you about who God is, tell them, I know him who is what? True. It means when I read the scriptures and I see what, you know, the apostles have taught us, Peter, James, Paul, you know, the Pauline epistles, or you read the words of Jesus. Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, than for him to lay down his life for his what? His neighbor. You know, so he said, okay. So God places a huge premium on practical love. You know, people don't like this. I can preach this message in the way that you will be confusing to you. Just take it the way it is, because this is the one that will benefit you. Jesus said, look at the way he introduced himself. He introduced himself as holiness and introduced himself as truth. Which means these are ingredients that any serious Christian must prioritize. Do you also realize that when you look at all the churches, Jesus introduced himself in a particular way to them that was different. So he will reveal himself to you according to a certain revelation for which he knows you know him to be. So this church has mastered holiness. This Philadelphia church, they have mastered, put up that scripture, they've mastered holiness, they've mastered truth. When you ask someone to teach the word of God there, you are not afraid that you can ask gospel, can ask the head usher, can ask someone from children's church. They will teach what is in front of them. They are not thinking, if I say so, will pastor like it? Do you know there are churches that if you say some things, you will not step on that pulpit again? Oh, you don't know? Okay, let me even leave the word of God. Do you know there are churches where if you don't appreciate the pastor and the pastor's wife, before maybe they ask you to take an offering, you don't say, I want to appreciate my father, my mother, and the Lord for the opportunity. No, please, do you think I'm exaggerating? No. Who honestly thinks I'm exaggerating what I just said? Okay, who is familiar with what I just said? You have to greet them. You don't want to go home up to where you don't know where you are. Ordinary offering, no. Or testimony time. If I call Pastor Desmond, you will hear story. If I call him now, put it on speaker, he will first laugh. That's the church he was coming from. He will first laugh, then he will give you a live example. A time is coming in this church and it's almost here. Because when we are done with all this series, all this flesh, cut it off. It's flesh. Sometimes we are the one that set up our pastors for failure. I'm not saying you should not honor your pastors, please. But sometimes it can be too much. You are not helping the man. The man is still a human being. Like, if I don't brush my teeth now, it will be smelling. The way you brush your teeth, the way I brush my teeth, I have to directly bring myself down so I can remember that I am a man. Because if I see the anointing, I can forget. Yes. And it may not serve me in the long run, because I will not look like a common person amongst you. Eh? But I will make it. When Jesus sees me, he will be happy. So when you want to give me double honor, that one is for you. It's you that will give me double. But me, I will bring myself down, because I don't want. I have seen what the anointing has done to men of God. What the anointing? Do you think when you see a young man of God that is suddenly very popular and is doing great things for God, do you think it's his grammar? It's an unction. There's an anointing that is making him become accepted like that. Well, you forget that you're a man. You forget. It's easy to forget too. I'll preach a message here. Those who forget. For my father and the Lord in Accra. Those who forget. It's a very powerful message. And you need to surround yourself with people that will remind that, Pastor, this is the way you do. No. Today, that mistake. This one, you need to correct it. Not them say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I don't want you people to go to heaven and say, a pastor did not make it. Hey, it's because of you I did not make it. It's because of you now. God forbid bad thing. Do you understand? This church was a church that was accountable. They were accountable to each other. The standard for this love was that if anybody suddenly was not walking in brotherly love, they will call him. This is not how we do here. I know you are angry, but the standard is what? Brotherly what? So please, are we together? And so this is the once we agree on the standard, any day we have to challenge each other. That is the standard. We already know that anything we do in this meeting, love must be at the foundation of that thing. Sometimes out of love, we will tell you to move out of that house. Out of love, to protect you. If somebody turn you to a punching bag, I cannot tell you that in the name of Jesus, you must fight for your home. You need to be alive to fight. Leave first. Go and be sleeping under the bridge. When the man's head calms down, you will go back. Not that you should be, say you are suffering for Christ. Hospital today, hospital tomorrow. Now, they say, your face don't swell like agege bread. They say you are suffering for, that will not be suffer. If you want to suffer, I will tell you where you will suffer for Christ. I'll take you to bringing Kebi. I will take you to some places where even when they see you like this, they know you're a Christian, they will attack you. Brotherly love means that if somebody comes to this church, and wears, are you with me? And he wears slippers and comes into this place, the way we hug Pastor Tokwe is the way we hug that person. It doesn't matter. The scripture teaches, was it James that said, we must not have in the church, we must not have respect of persons. I treat Alfred well. Alfred is the building committee chairman. If he's angry, he's angry. So, you know, nothing will happen in the building committee again. Then if Joshua now has an issue with Alfred, then I bring the case to me. I've not heard the case. I'll start shouting on Joshua. What's wrong with you? You are so proud. Because I don't want anything to happen to Alfred. Because can't you behave yourself? You are a Christian. You should be controlled. Why am I not telling Alfred to control himself? The Adi Baba Ijo. Did you see anybody in all your former churches where they put prayer warriors as head of a building committee? That the head of the prayer department. Oh my God. Let me not repeat what she said. She said let me skip. If you are not in church, you miss that one. I don't know how to. Hallelujah. God wants all of us to come into church, and from the door, you are feeling the love. From the door, you are feeling the love. That was Peter's secret too. Peter did not know how to be doing all those things Jesus was doing. He just arranged, said, let's be feeding them. all the people were angry at the government. They started coming. The first fight in the church was because of food. Say the women say they no get food. They say, now let us people for that side, they give food. Say, before they say food don't finish, he say, Peter say, and Jesus did not explain how we are going to do this one. Let us ordain deacon. That deacon, that everybody, some people in some church say deacon. This is how they used to do. One of our former churches, I will not call that church. One of the brothers there, it's my brother's friend though, they now ordained him as deacon. So after service, my brother's like, Kenneth, so how far? I say, deacon. Deacon Kenneth. My brother bought it to laugh. He said, what did they worry you? He said, Say, Ayo, you must understand spiritual authority. I should understand spiritual authority. Can you imagine this guy? My brother said, he laughs. He said, this guy know well. He said, this guy know well. Sometimes, when I think about this, I'll sit down and I'll be laughing. Because if I tell you, it won't be funny to you. I'll just enjoy the laugh on my own. The standard is brotherly love. Brotherly love means that we are open, we are honest, and we can also confront each other. Brotherly love does not mean that we will not tell ourselves the truth. You know, our people in the Yoruba land have a proverb. Even though the proverb is not in the Bible, but I like it. They say if two brothers enter the same room and they come out smiling, they didn't tell themselves the truth. Yes. So please, forgive me if you're online. It's just a Europe. It's not. You can ignore this one because it's not in the Bible, but it's true. Sometimes we have to confront each other. But if I confront you, I must make sure that I am doing it because I love you. And you too must know that I actually love you. It's not as if, maybe there's something in my mind that maybe I have a different reason. No. It's brotherly love. So for me, if Jesus could look at a church and he didn't have any correction for that church, we need to study that church. Church 1, Ephesus, wala. Thyatira, wala. Pergamos, wala. Sardis, wala. Simnia, wala. These are powerful church, and Jesus came to this one. The moment he said, I knew it was, I was waiting for to see the. God is not a killjoy. If you are doing well, he will tell you. You have to know it. Put up that scripture. And this is an encouragement to us, sincerely. Do you know that if that this day was the end of the world, that's how everybody in that church will pass. I hope you know that. I hope you also know. Are you here? Are you here? I hope you also know that this Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is a testament to the fact that every church that exists, we have a scorecard. Any church, any place where they call themselves church, they will have report sheet. Not just the individual, so that church. God will check their doctrine. He will check their love life. He will check the kind of message they are preaching there. He said, I am he who has the key of David. You know, when I saw this, I think you'll find this in Isaiah 22:22, the key of David. Isaiah 22:22. Let's read Isaiah 22, I believe, 22:22. Yeah. That's where Jesus was quoting Isaiah. Now, do you know that based on the kind of person Jesus is, Jesus should not be making reference to anybody lesser than him. Are you flowing with me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Jesus is God, though.
Wow.
Isaiah is still learning work. In fact, in the hierarchy, Isaiah is lower than John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. And yet, Jesus made reference to Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
But you have passed that level. Mm-hmm. You are in the realm of the immortals. He said, let's start from 21, very quickly, 21, 22. He said that we clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, 22. And the key of the house of David, I will lay on his what? So he shall open and no man shall, and he shall shut, no man shall be able to open. What is the key of David? The authority of heaven. The authority. When men say there's no way there, you come, the door will open. It's an access point. It was what God gave to Peter. He said to Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Say, whatever you lose here has been already loosed in heaven. Isaiah said, there is a key that God calls the key of David. Put this in King James. You know, I told you when we started this series that when we were talking about Jezebel, I said there are some people on earth, the way they live their life, spirits inhabit their name.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember?
Yes, sir.
Like we talk about spirit of Jezebel, right? Yes. And I made reference to Moses that if Satan had taken that body and instead of Michael, Moses too will become a spirit that people will be going to for powers today. Now look at David. His name again. He said, and the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. Go back to Revelation chapter 3. He said, I am he who has the key of David. This key that was referenced in Isaiah 22. Jesus said that key now belongs to him. In other words, if I look at you, Tina, and I see that you belong to me, and you are not going anywhere, good or bad, I can open a door. No force from hell, no power from this earth, no mortal king, no demon king, no prince in the realm of darkness will be able to contend for that door if I open it for you. Why are we today so obsessed with the help of man? We need the help of man, but the scripture also says vain is the help of man. There is a door that we need to beckon to God, that if he opens this door, the earth will receive what you are selling. Whatever you have, they will want it, whether they like it or not. The Pharisees didn't like him. They kept coming for his crusade. They didn't like him now, but they kept coming and they sit down in front. And why they are saying, look at his big head. Just say, why are you thinking evil in your heart? They are imagining evil thing, like let him just fall down. Die. Why are you thinking evil? Jesus will read their thoughts. Because Jesus had a door that was given to him by his father. And as long as he was with God, look at the language Jesus was using for this church. Look at the language. The way God introduces himself to you is important. So you have to pay attention. The way God introduces himself to you, he said to, was it Moses? He said, by my name Jehovah. They did not know me. Your fathers did not know me. He was talking about Abraham, Abi, Isaac and Jacob. And he said, they know me by another name. Because Moses said, what's your name? If they ask me, what is it? He said, by my name, Jehovah. Nobody knows me. You are the first. Do you know there are things God can show you that maybe in the Bible, only one person saw a bit of it? Before Joseph, who knew that you can be a prophet and be prime minister without citizenship? You are there. No, you didn't go to their school. You are just a hustler. And God raised your hand because he opened the door. This is a message to us as Christians, as the church. Harvest Word, hear me. There is a door that only Jesus can open over this house. Connection cannot open it. If I decide to be sleeping at governor's house, it will not open it. There are conditions there. Say that I am he who is holy. I am he who is true. I must to say I follow him who is true means I must become a lover of the truth. You must become a lover of the truth. Say, because thou loved righteousness and hate iniquity. Jesus didn't manage righteousness. Jesus didn't just try to accommodate holiness. Jesus loved righteousness. When Jesus sees righteousness, he is happy. Not by false holiness that many of us are doing. He said, because of that, his father, what? Anointed him with what? With what? The oil of gladness. The source of the power in the life of Jesus was the oil of gladness. Because there's always a reason. There's always a reason. You need to find out the reason. This Philadelphia church, there are secrets here. Because he loved righteousness. He was a child of righteousness. Anytime he sees righteousness prevail, he's excited. He's not angry at the government because he has not gotten the opportunity to eat his own. Because some people are just waiting. When is their turn? They chop. When my mom used to work with the police, if you go and report your guy at the police that is doing one thing that is no good, they will tell you, madam, wait for your turn. I didn't understand what that thing meant for a long time. That somebody is stealing money in this DPO's, division. Eh? You go and you write a memo, send it to force headquarters. They will call you. Say, is it true? They will check. Say, okay, we need to investigate. Say, but sir, you have to wait for your turn. When is your turn? You do as you like. The man has served. It's time to chop. When you collect money on you have to deliver. DPO will take his own. Send the one to headquarters. They say, we will share it. But we will not tell you that one until you get there. I know you are born again, but this is how we share it. You must be a lover of the truth. When you read from the scriptures and you find things that are very uncomfortable, do you rejoice at it? Do you ask God for the grace to be like what you are reading? Or are you angry that God is still insisting on holiness? Some people are angry. Why would God say we should be holy? Shall you say we are the righteousness of God? Leave this thing. Leave this thing now. Any small thing, say holiness, holiness. Leave this thing. Ah. It's not possible for a person to walk and his head will not shake. Ah. You cannot be righteous every time now. Ah. Even the Bible says there's no one that is righteous. No, not one. Calm down. We'll all make it in Jesus' name. Stop talking about holiness. This church don't go full like this. Holiness, people knock. That's what Pastor Kumi preached for years. The church is still full. Maybe what you meant to say is that anybody destined for hell will not stay. I understand that one. If you're a child of heaven, when you hear things like this, you go to bed with it. It will be in your heart. Look at the conditions. On one side is holiness. On one side is truth. And I told you that this thing is similar to what the scripture said, that Jesus was a lover of righteousness. Right? Because he loved righteousness and what? Hate iniquity. You need doctrine. You need teaching. You need to be taught this thing to the point where he just says, I cannot. This thing is working against me. Put up that scripture, please. We are looking at the secrets of the Philadelphian church. Next verse. Jesus said, I know your works. So let me ask you a question. What do you think their works are here? Huh? You said love. They did the same thing the Ephesian church did, except that their reason was love. They were not doing it for high marks. Every time they showed up, it was for love. In those days, don't be angry. Those of you that did not go to church then, or maybe you are still in heaven. when those of us here were going to church. Mama, in those days, you could hear, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of God. Now, so good a singer. Some, when we are going for a crusade, maybe there's one evangelist that's come in the bus, or when we are trekking, all of us will be singing one song, we'll be clapping. We are going to the crusade ground. Do you understand? It was fun. Because we believe that crusade, God. I was in one crusade at Bauchi State. Huh? Bauchi, you know Bauchi? Bauchi is at the end of the world. The pastor was preaching, the evangelists were invited. It was a big crusade. And in those days, when we hold crusade, all the churches come. There's no redeem, whatever. Once we hold the crusade, everybody comes. So when the pastor, the evangelist finished preaching, it was time for healing. People have come out to give their life to Christ. You know, me, I was a new Christian, so I was learning some of these things. I just heard the pastor, the evangelist just took the song. He was about to pray for sick people. It was my first time seeing that kind of a thing. I just said, there is no mountain that I can't climb when I say move. He wants to pray. I mean, Jesus, I just saw everybody could say, since you have Jesus, everything will be fine. There is no mountain that you can't climb. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just saw cripple. I said, I will not backslide again. What is this? Hey! Ooh! When they sing, you will feel the heart connection. You will feel the last time some of us felt that kind of connection was at NYC camp, at NCCF fellowship. Even though we used to call it low in the family also, but when we sing that our song, I love this family. Everybody, no quarrel for that time. We'll sing that song. I was the only quarrel. There's only one quarrel in that family. Sisters cannot wear something. They cannot do like this. That's the only quarrel. And food. Sisters want to be food. They say, please protect the brothers. The brothers are not strong. Dress well. That's the only quarrel. But any other thing, we are together. See, if we don't prioritize this love, we will lose our reward. If we don't prioritize the love of God in our heart and in our service to Him, we will lose our reward. When Paul was teaching us and he said that every work shall be tested by fire, the only works that we survive were the ones that came from a heart of love. That's it. Don't you have visions? Don't you have things you want to achieve in life? Somebody comes here now with a gun and say, you will die now if you don't turn your back on Jesus. Then the question now is, you will now begin to remember all the things you've not done, you've not achieved. And Jesus is about to take your life from you. That man may become evangelist tomorrow, but he will take your own life. The scripture said that when the apostles were being persecuted and they got back to their company, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to partake in the sufferings of our God. Suffering for Jesus Christ is still part of this gospel. I hope you know. I hope you know that if you want 10 million now, you know what you can do. But it's not godly. You can add 10 to something. You can follow a man somewhere. There are people that don't know what to do with money. The money is there. They don't know what to do with it. The reason why you are like this is because you follow Jesus. So you are already paying the price. That's what I'm telling you. So just pay, kukuma, pay everything. I'm sorry for those of you from America. Kukuma, pay everything. Just settle down. Pay. Don't lose your reward. Please, let me preach to anybody, but don't lose your reward. The key is love. The key is love. Whatever you do in the name of the Lord must be done in love. Put up that scripture. Let's round up. He said, see, I know your works. I know your works. I have seen your heart. I see the way you are serving me. I know your works. I love it. That's the meaning of what he wrote there. Did you see the other churches? When anytime you talk about their works, you start complaining. You know, you didn't notice. Some of those people, not all the churches, some of them, when you say, I know your works, you're well, I still have one thing against you. Eh? You do one well. You compulsory question, 30 marks, you did not answer. You now answered 4 questions. Meanwhile, I say, answer only 2. You now left compulsory question of 50 marks. The only mark you can get from the other 2 is apportioned as by whatever the lecturer wants to give you. That compulsory question, there are some exams, if you don't answer, you have failed. Even if you answer the other optional ones. Abino, if you don't... there are some lecturers in Nigeria. They will make that composite question so hard so that your governor will come up and say, sir, what level is, sir? How was the exam, sir? sir. The department say we should... The student say we should come and greet you. They say, it's okay. You people should, yes, you didn't do it. Sir, we know, sir. We know, sir. We know, sir. So we are going, sir. Just drop something at the table. Everybody collect B, B, C, C, C. Some of you, when you were in school, you also contributed. Have you now? Even though you prayed and asked for mercy, but you contributed. They carried God the money, went to give Professor Nwanka, and the man, let me not call his full name. Put up that scripture. He said, I know your works. I would love, you know, and as wonderful as this is, it's also kind of scary. Like, Jesus just looks at everything you've done in the last 10, like, I know what you have been doing. Do you know that I know your works means I know the secret works you have been doing? The things you did for which nobody saw and nobody appreciated you for. Jesus said, I saw it. The ones you did publicly, Jesus would say, when he says, I know your works, he's talking about things that you did for God and you even forgot. Sometimes you did certain things for God, you went home and cried. Because that thing was like a sacrifice on your part. Nobody noticed. Somebody even abused you. Have you ever done anything in church? Someone now insulted you on top. And they didn't even realize that it was a sacrifice on you. Church. Hi. I went to minister to one woman, you know, she just came back from the UK. So I was staying around Surulere really there. So while we were praying, you know, she was like, anything church. She know they do church again. So I believe in God, though. I follow Jesus, but in my house. And she invited me and John, that we should come and pray with her. We did vigil. So I know they go here again. Me, I go church. Oh. She said, church has not done you strong thing before. She said, church has not done you strong thing. See, when you mature, church will do you strong thing. Then you will be like me. Is there anyone that church has not done strong thing? If we were looking at the people in church, we won't stay. We won't stay. There's one brother that is, when this church wanted to start, we have not started the first service. So the brother, I don't know, he committed one crime, sir. So I tried to help him. Him and his wife. So when we were starting, he now said, Pastor, he said, Kai, say the way God has used you for my family, when is church starting? I say, first Sunday of March. Say, you have 2 members with their daughter, I think daughter. So, I was happy. The guy created big problem in his church. The pastor wanted to cut his head. He was doing dangerous things, so like dangerous things in unrighteousness that I cannot mention here. Because God has forgiven me, so me too, I should forget about it. You understand? But that period, everywhere in that church was on fire. I had to step in to save the day. But he was now too ashamed. He could not go back to that church. He now said, you that God used to restore me, I will follow you. When we opened the auditorium at Ilukweju Light Plaza, Father, we thank you for this assembly. Tina, how many years we don't there now? 10 years. 10 years I'm counting. Maybe the bride will come this Sunday. I never see her. I don't see him break light. Later, let me call and say, you know what? Don't come again. You know, after I made peace the fact that this boat will not sail. And I called him, I said, look for which church is in your area. I said, don't follow me again. Go to that CSC church or go to this. I said, just go anywhere. I said, sir, you will not be giving me. Because if I don't tell you, every Sunday, my mind is telling me, maybe you'll come next Sunday. I said, don't come again. When I told you don't come again, we are no more than 10. I told her, I said, you are your daughter. I said, because you give me up. I just start this business. I go. I will have hypertension if I keep thinking about you. I went to visit him at home at Akute. And I said, Brother Mike, God will bless you. Which church is in this area? I say, from today, don't follow me. I left my house. I went to Akute to wish him well. But he was telling me, man of God, you are Christ. You are like Jesus. If not for you, my family would have scattered. I'll follow you anywhere. I said, thank God. At least some people appreciate. My brother, March, April, May, June. 10 years and 3 months. Maybe you'll come this Sunday. I told him, if you want to leave long, just sit down on the floor. Just start laughing. Jesus said, I know your works. Jesus said, I know your works. See, if Jesus makes a statement like this to you, it means you have been laboring. Please, don't stay in the midst. Let me tell you something. When the apostles were starting this work, they didn't have anything called workers' department. Huh? I mean Peter and John. They didn't have workers' department. They didn't have Gideon's army. Huh? There was nothing like Carver's word. Huh? But now, because of the way the world is, one of the easiest ways to serve God is when you are in a church community. Easiest ways. Because if you say you will preach tomorrow, some of us have never preached in a bus before. Some of us are not used to it. Some of us cannot even preach because even our dressing has disqualified us. But though our name is in the book of life, so I need to... In those days, when I go via from Obalinde, there are some of these evangelists I've never seen their type. And when I go from Obalinde to via, it's usually very dark, like 5 a.m. So you'll be here. We're already on the way to a quarter. You now here? They are usually Igbo brethren, Igbo brother. Oh, that day. I remember that day. Just in Igbo voice, I want you to imagine. You know that song, Mama? Now, how old? You know, in our case, they used to play that song that time. Some of you don't know the song. That's why I'm not laughing. Oh, that day. When you finish singing, all of you know you are in trouble. Are you here? You are still fornicating. Are you here? You are still in sin. Are you here? You are hearing this word. You have not given your life to Christ. Today may be your last day. 5 a.m. in the morning. 5 o'clock. You are very tired going to Oshodi Bank. Somebody at the bank. And 9 day of what? You cannot escape. 9 sit down block. He doesn't want your money. He said today may be your last. You can't even see his face. Everywhere is so dark. After singing that song, all you will hear, eternal life, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. I want to live eternal life. We should start singing those songs again. My soul, eternal. The moment it finishes up, while I bind.
It will, you just hear you just hear Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. All you fornicators, idol worshippers, those of you who are still telling lies, you shall have your part in the lake of fire. Someone like me, that you know, I was just hustling there. I didn't have a house. When I get to a hotel, there's one Meshai where I used to buy tea. I would drink tea, those big cup with bread. The guy has spoiled my breakfast already. Because when I see that from Meshai, I'm just thinking, Mitala. Even though you already have eternal life, you are even asking yourself, are you sure you are going to heaven? The way this man, if this heaven is the way the man preaches, I'm not sure you will get there. Chai! Hey! Ezioku. See, let me tell you. I'm not asking you to be like that guy, okay? But the truth of the matter is, do you know that? Have you ever been approached by a young child who tried to preach to you before? Did you feel any shame? Because you're already a Christian. But the child looked at you and felt you need the gospel. You know, it's a problem, oh, that someone looked at you and said, sister, have you given your life? Like, I'll be pastor. Say, don't worry, pastors are going to hell. Have you given your life to Christ? That someone look at you, he did not even see the anointing. He didn't see the glory. He just said, bro, sir, can I share the gospel with you? One day I was on Oworo Bridge. Man, if you know where I don't take this, my leg worker. In the middle of the night, one small girl was there. I was coming from work. Me that already have plenty problem in my life. I was just, see the way I was just coming. The person just, let's say this is a tract. She stood in the center of the bridge. Take that here. I said, give you. When she look, you give you. You just collect and start going. That day, God forgive me, I wanted to throw the girl from the bridge. I may come up for road waiting for this. Waiting for this. You don't know, say people get problem. You just stand for middle of road. The way she will even look at you, you can't say you will not take the try. That's the way somebody taught her. That if your face is, see, we are not here to play. Take. Give your life to Christ. Who do you think you are? But you know the funny thing is that God have mercy. If that tract was the last opportunity and you did not read it, hey, then that person crosses the bridge and Okada hit him. You know what you'll be thinking? That, that girl was not even properly taught that this gospel is a gospel of love. But she knows that Lagosians are stubborn. If you are smiling, they will not listen to you. She just blocked the bridge. You know, this is our bridge. Just you can, when you want to pass, you look at her. Why are you standing? She just, I'll give you. So you are too tired to argue. So just collect your. You go collect. Just said, I know your works. See, let me tell you. When you are in a church community like this, every avenue that sends the gospel message out is something Jesus will consider. Let me give you an example. In this church, there are missionaries that we have supported in the past few years. You know, some of them, when they call, anytime they call, we just send one. Or some of the people that we assist in their medical record, their treatment and all those things, it's not, the money is not coming from heaven now. Is this 5,500 naira, 2,200 naira that people are? So I'm telling you that sometimes you may not want to do some things for God, but when you are in the midst of other people, you participate. Do you understand? And then you get to heaven and just will say, oh, because of what you did. Because, Mama, if God used me to bless you, or I say, Tina, take this 10,000 for your child. Take this 10,000 for your daughter. Oh, your daughter is sick. Take this money. The reward will not be today. Maybe 10 years, 20 years from now, or 30 years, that boy now becomes a great person. And through his hand, God is now saving many lives. Let's say the boy is a doctor or a nurse or is an engineer, but through him, God now uses him to save somebody that me I will never meet. Then you now die. You have even forgotten about the favor you did for him. You now die. God now says, you did well. Now I don't say, don't worry, you will not understand. Enter first. The person, the crusade where Billy Graham gave his life to Christ. Do you know how many people accepted Jesus that day? Do you know? Billy Graham, do you know? Billy Graham, sir, do you know? How many? Billy Graham was only, he was a child. Imagine that this my brother, please come. Imagine that this my brother, we organized crusade. Nobody came. Only the preacher and this brother who just went, he left the house, he now came. He now saw that the people not to come. He sat down. The evangelist now sat down, preached to him. Huh? He now, you know, if you lead him to Christ, you now do report, sent to headquarters. How many people came for the crusade? Say one. How many salvation? How many people gave their life? I say one. That pastor that did that crusade, they punished him. He was suspended. He was punished that he wasted church money on crusade that failed. That the crusade was a failure. But the person he saved was Billy Graham. You don't know God's reward system. He get as God, they take reward though. It's not the way man looks at it. You will look at him and say he's a boy. God is looking at the... Do you know how many souls came to Jesus through Billy Graham? Even Billy Graham, he just not that God, he just came. They passed, he just entered. That was it. The man that led him to Christ was reckoned a failure. But in heaven, was he a failure? Oh, goodness. God bless you. So let's walk. And love must be much. Put up the scripture. Because if you don't get this one, whatever you do, we burn. Look at the reward. He said, look, because your works are right before me, I have now opened before you, I have set before you what? An open door that no man, this is authority. Even if I don't like your face, it doesn't matter. It was Jesus that spoke. Jesus will not consult with me to open this door for you. That's why your heart with him must be right. If Jesus say, this anger, leave it. That's it. Leave it. Don't say no, she must say sorry. There are some people, if he doesn't repeat himself three times, they won't hear. Say it's a Nigerian, you know, for Lagos, if you don't talk two, three times, nobody, they take you serious. Put up that scripture. Say, I will set before an open door, no man can shut it. I know you have a little strength. Look at what this church was running on. Jesus called it little strength. Look at the giftings. Look at the divine abilities in the other church. Yet, they were rejected. Jezebel entered their midst. They didn't know. Jezebel was there, committing all kind of havoc. They could not. Jesus said, this church, you will think they have big anointing, small strength. Can you see how Jesus is? Sometimes when we think, oh God, you can just anoint me the way you are not pastor, the way. Hey, you have a little strength. What else was peculiar to that church? They kept the word of God. They kept the word of God. Whether in private or in public. They had a little strength and they used that strength to keep his word. And they did not deny his name. Do you know how many people, when we were just applying for jobs, do you know how many people, people alter their age on their CV. Some people alter their religion. Because where you are applying to, they don't want Christian. Somebody that became a Christian used to be a Muslim. He removed the Abdul Qadir from his name because he's not a Christian. He's bearing Michael now. But when he noticed that this place, they will favor you if you have he just inserted the name again. My name is Fatima Yewande. So that anyone, whether it's Yewande or the Fatima, I will get the job. And she got the job. You have not denied my name. Do you know that deliberately sinning against the Lord is denying him? Listen, hellfire cannot stop you from living a promiscuous life. Hellfire cannot stop you from fornication. It is only when you have found Jesus and what both of you share becomes so precious to you. Eh? Are you still here? What you have found, that thing between you and Jesus, is now so precious that you don't want to lose it. That is when you rise above sin. And let me tell you, if what you have between you and Jesus is so precious, and you know it and Jesus knows it, if it remains 1 minute, Jesus will drag your leg. He'll say, come off of Felicia. I don't determine, you know, they go Felicia house again. He will drag your leg because Jesus knows that what he has with you is not common. When you come to this place, you will not try to be a Christian in your own strength again. Because what is powering your life is love. Love, love, love. Which was the first issue Jesus raised with Ephesus. Put up that scripture. He said, you have kept my word and you have not denied my name. Next verse, quickly. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. Do you see that despite the fact that this church was righteous, they had opposition from Satan. There was a gathering of satanic people around them. Put up that scripture. Put up that scripture. People who are trying to bring them into bondage. If you say you're a Christian, the word of God is true. A man shall not wear what pertains to a woman. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The word of God is clear. The word of God is true. The woman shall not wear that. Sister, please give her a headscarf. Cover your head in Jesus' name. Because of the angels. Hallelujah. Madam, the other lady there, we are coming next week, remove the eyelashes and the... You say, this the, we want the house of God to be holy. People of the synagogue of Satan, they don't like the fact that you are happy. You are the only one in that church that is happy. Next week, you will not wear your Mary Kay. You will not wear... And you will come looking sad. You know, if you are sad, they believe in him. Jesus is in your life. Meanwhile, I will not call that office. One office like that. All of them they in that office. Then are they wicked? If you bring your fire there, you are in trouble. They say, go, we want to eat. Haven't you gone to government office before? Say, go, madam, you are just coming. Please. I close 4. Madam, it's 5 minutes. Madam, go. What she wants to do is just to put stamp on paper. Say no. Say she's going for lunch. And she will go for 2 hours. Meanwhile, if you see her, you are even happy that this one is a Christian. Now she go do you. She's a Christian, but she doesn't have the Spirit of Christ. You want to assist me with my continuous assessment. I'm not doing well. He went to the HOD, so he said, okay, I will be at a young boy's guest house with my friends. Come and see me there. We can discuss. Sir, we're already in your office. Let's talk about it. He said, no. Come and say, I'll be relaxed then. We can talk about it. Sir, should be you be reverend. Waiting, I won't discuss for a young boy's club. Motel. But that is the situation. And many people are victims. They cannot talk. They cannot talk. Some will even tell you, if you say anything, I will curse you. You die. If you don't want your parents to cry over you. You say, because you compromise, you cannot talk. So everybody is looking at each other. Synagogue of Satan. Jesus said, I will make these people who claim they are Jews. Jews here, because Jews have a lot of laws, the rituals that they follow. He said, I will make them come and bow down to you. Because they will now see that with all their commandments, God is with you. He's not with them. So I'll make them to worship at your feet and to know that I, Jesus, I love you. You know, I know we know that God loves us, but do you know that if that revelation enters into your heart that God's relationship with you is personal, that there's a way God loves you. He doesn't love Peter like that. That one is special. And that becomes the basis for you're coming to him every morning. When you come every morning, you are coming to the lover of your soul. You are not coming with guilt. You are coming to the one who saw you in sin and died for you and waited for thousands of years to receive you. He took a gamble on you. He took a gamble on you. He took a gamble on you. Believing that when you come into this world, you will accept him.
That's the lover of your soul. Next verse. Because you have kept my command to persevere. Can you see the qualities of this church? They endure a lot of hardship. They are disciplined. They know how to pray, and trust God. They know how to stand with each other. See, they were going through a lot of persecution. They stood with each other. If somebody is not in church, they'll say, maybe he has backslidden. Here, nice, someone is not in church. Say, call her, is she sick? Hope she's okay. You will call her and say, I was coming to church, I had running stomach, so I went back. That's the kind of complaint we get here. In those days, if somebody didn't come to church, it's a question of salvation, because we don't know, maybe they've arrested them, they've killed them, they have persecuted them, or maybe they have even died. Something there that could make the faith of others cringe. Jesus said, you persevered, which means Jesus did not really save them from what they were going through. So they held themselves and they kept going together. They persevered. What did Jesus say? He said, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. You see, no matter how anointed you are, there is a day where your faith will be tried. There is a day that your faith will be tried. It will be tried. Oh God. Don't pray to experience it. It's called trial for a reason. Proud that scripture. He said, I will also deliver you. I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. And what is the purpose of that trial? To test those who dwell on death. This test will sift the goat from the wheat. And God said, because you persevere, I will give you a special grace. When men will be turning back and we turn churches to clubs, I will preserve you. People, you just know that, okay, so much is happening, but your heart is still with the Lord. Peradventure, the Lord has given you this grace. Because sometimes when you go on Instagram and go on TikTok, you almost wish that, let me go into the world for 5 years and come back. You know, because it's like, you just want to be free. Like, all this Bible, let's be free for... The devil told me, say, when you are 50, you can serve him. I should go. Go and enjoy my life. A young boy, what's wrong with you? Enjoy your life. That's what the devil told me. The devil did not tell me that there was a guarantee I will be alive by then. Do you know that an unsaved soul that dies is a victory for Satan? Do you know that a greater victory for Satan is the life of a man who has walked with Jesus for so long and at the last minute turns back and he dies? Oh, the blood of that man is sweet in Satan's mouth. God forbid. Sometimes all it takes is for you to, in your heart, reject him or say God is not faithful. And that is all. Jesus said, I will protect you from the hour of trial. I will protect you. I want you to know that this is an assurance from the Lord. This is a promise that God is giving you. That when men are losing their heads, he, Jesus, will protect you from the hour of trial. Not just you, your children. Not just you, those who are with you. Those who believe the God that you believe. Jesus said, I will protect them. Some of them may not even deserve to survive, but because they are around you, it's just like it's just like the Spirit of God saying, anoint every house with blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Now, let me ask a question. If there was an Egyptian, by mistake, he just came to the house of a Jewish man, and he said, I'm just passing. I said, let me greet you. And he entered the house with the angel touching. Now, if that man was the firstborn of his parents, and the Lord said, every firstborn must die, and that boy entered the house to greet his friend, Joah, how are you? Let's go and play. But I say, no, they say we should not go out. Okay, let me stay with you inside. That angel will not be, that will be the only boy that will survive. Why? Because association affects destiny. You may have a bright destiny, but if your association is wrong, your destiny can be aborted. Jesus said, I will protect you. He was speaking about that church, that local church. I will protect this church
There were 7 churches in Asia Minor. So I will protect this church from the hour of trial. Quickly. Let's round up. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Please let me tell your neighbor, Jesus is coming soon. Hold fast. Hold fast. Tell your neighbor, hold fast. Hold fast. Oh. What are you going to hold fast? Hold Jesus fast. Hold him. Hold him. Hold him. Don't let Satan take your reward. Don't let him take your crown. There is nothing you have in this world. It's only Jesus. You see that house. You see that car. Your children will tell you the car is old in the future. Hold fast what you have, what you already have. Hold fast so that no man, no woman. Just know that what the enemy wants to do in your life is to take your crown. The enemy wants you to stand before God ashamed. Jesus said, whether you lose it or win it, it's in your hands. He says, stand, hold fast. When they tell you, it's not really a sin. It's already a sin. It's not really a sin. Hold fast, hold fast. So there is a way God wants us to posture holding. There's a way he wants us to posture holding. Anything that contends for your faith in Christ, anything that tries to give you the idea or suggestion that Christ will never be enough, that you need to add something. Jesus said, hold fast to what you already have. There is nothing else outside. Hold fast to what you already have, because it is easy to lose what you have. A pastor can lose what he has. A pastor's wife can lose what she has. A fervent prayer warrior, when challenges come in life, he can turn his back. Jesus said, hold fast what you have. The world cannot give you Jesus. You already have him. So hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. You may realize tomorrow that you can't find your ATM card. Don't worry, but hold fast. Hold fast. He said, he who overcomes. What is God's definition of overcoming? He who holds fast. He who holds fast till the very end. Till the very end, till the very end, till the very end. He said, Paul was speaking, he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas didn't leave Paul for Satan. He left Paul for the world. He just, okay, this offering is too much. We cannot continue like this. Now we need to make it in ministry. Paul woke up one morning, did not see Demas again. But Demas was being trained to become an apostle. So who are you? Challenges of life is all you need to turn back. He said, he who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, you know what it means to be a pillar? Is that God puts you in a church. He puts you in a church, and you become a spiritual structure in that church that holds that church. Anytime people feel like, oh, there's something that people, I don't want to go, I don't want to be a Christian. They say, you now become a reference point. If Kemi, after all she has gone through, could remain in Christ, I will not turn back. What it means to be a pillar is you become someone that people can rest on. Are you with me? You become someone that people say, Auntie, please, can you pray for me? I'm not happy. Let me pray for you. Those who are sick, they are not a doctor, they will come to you. You encourage them. I have not eaten. Take one cup of rice. God says he will now make you a pillar, such that all the people Satan would have taken advantage of because of their condition, you now become a system through which God is able to take care of all those people. I want to be a pillar. Amen. I want to be a pillar in God's house. He said, I will write on him the name of my God. This is covenant. I will write on him the name. He didn't say everybody. He was talking about somebody here. You know, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him. Oh, you know what that means? Please, take off your cap. When you get to that level with Jesus, Jesus will say, today, I want to share with you my new name. And he will write something there. Anywhere you go, even when you get to heaven, people will know that this one is not in the same level with every other. We will not all be in the same level of glory. There will be a glory of the sun. There will be a glory of the moon. There's a glory of the terrestrial. There's a glory of the celestial. Jesus said this one. He said, I will write on him or her my new name. It will be in a heavenly language. And everybody will know that not everybody among us has this name on their forehead. So you know that this one is special. I will be there. I will be there in the name of Jesus. Verse 13, finally.
he was and here. Let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. God is a God of promise. God is a God of covenant. God will never look down. He will never abandon anyone who serves him. My admonition, my encouragement for you today is to make a complete decision to live your life for what truly matters. Live your life for what we count in eternity. The sacrifice you will pay, don't let it be anything. Those who came up before us also had to make their own sacrifice. Huh? Some of us will live very long, 90 years. People will say, some of us may not be privileged to live that long. But we know that our life does not consist in anything that is here. Thank God for the blessings. Thank God for the prosperity. Thank God for the miracles. But our life is not here. Our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. Hallelujah. So we should be heavenly minded. Amen. Should be heavenly minded. When I say heavenly minded, I don't mean utterly useless. I mean that your heart is always with the Lord. The things that really thrill you are the things that pertain to God. Such that you now find it quite easy to determine if your spiritual fire is dying. Why? Because the measure of your fire is no longer your spiritual gift, but your love. The moment you find that you no longer take pleasure in doing the things that you and the Lord used to enjoy doing, you need to start praying or something is wrong. If not, you just wake up one day, plus the firewood, plus the matches, plus everything, Satan has packed it. You did not even know that the fire is out. They packed everything and they moved to another location. Amen. The Lord forbid. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? See, let me tell you something. None of us will lose our reward. In the name of Jesus. I pray that this church will become a center of righteousness. Where genuine love. This will be Philadelphia. This church, the Lord will count us worthy till he comes to be like the Philadelphia church. We are going to raise people who love him, people who genuinely want to follow him in the name of Jesus. That for every one of us here, we are going to hold each other's hands until we get to the finish line. And we'll pray for everyone who has been discouraged, everyone who is going through a tough time. We receive encouragement for them in the name of Jesus. Maybe you are going through a tough time. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you really, you are just really discouraged. I want you to know that God has not forgotten you. I want you to know that God loves you. And I want you to know that you are not hearing this message by accident. Because God wants you to know that you are still alive because he has preserved you. And he has a plan for you. Hallelujah. The little one among us shall be like David. Amen. Amen. So we are confident. We are confident. Even when we are in situations where we really don't know what to do, we are confident that he that has begun a good work in us will not stop until he brings it perfect in the day of Christ. And Father, I thank you for everyone that you have given me. I thank for every member of this church. I thank for everyone who is connected to this ministry. I thank for every Christian who has been blessed at some time through this ministry. I thank you, Lord, because everyone will be preserved in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, whoever listens to this message or hears this message, we find their faith in Christ again. They will be encouraged again. They will no longer be discouraged. I pray that, Lord, from today, we will become more conscious of you. We will become heavenly minded. We will become heavenly minded. We will become used to thinking about the things of God. In the name of God, we receive fresh fire tonight. Fresh fire for our altars. We will begin to seek you afresh. We begin to call upon you afresh. The scripture says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Lord, tonight we pray over everyone who is listening to this message. Lord, we receive fresh fire. We receive fresh fire. Lord, we ask that you will fill us with your love. We ask for a fresh revelation of your love. That Lord, you beyond all of the terrible things that were being said about these other churches, Lord, you will cause us to see your love in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Because you are going to establish us and you are going to hold our hands until we get to the finish line. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. If Jesus is still the lover of your soul, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.